Inspector Monica Figuerola, in spite of her unusual name, was born in Dalarna, to a family that had lived in Sweden at least since the time of Gustavus Vasa in the 16th century. She was a woman whom people usually paid attention to, for several reasons. She was 36, blue-eyed and 6 feet tall. She had short, light blonde, naturally curly hair. She was attractive and dressed in a way that she knew made her more so. And she was in exceptionally good shape. She had been a top-level gymnast in her teens and almost qualified for the Olympic team when she was 17. She had given up classic gymnastics but still worked out obsessively at the gym 5 nights a week. She exercised so often that the endorphins her body produced functioned as a drug that made it difficult for her to stop training. She ran, lifted weights, played tennis, did karate. She had cut back on bodybuilding, that extreme variant of bodily glorification, some years ago. In those days she was spending 2 hours a day pumping iron. Even so, she trained so hard and her body was so muscular that malicious colleagues still called her Herr Figuerola. When she wore a sleeveless T-shirt or a summer dress, no one could fail to notice her biceps and powerful shoulders. Her intelligence, too, intimidated many of her male colleagues. She had left school with top grades, studied to become a police officer at 20, then served for 9 years in Uppsala and studied law in her spare time. For fun, she said, she had also studied for a degree in political science. When she left patrol duty to become a criminal inspector, it was a great loss to Uppsala street safety. She worked first in the violent crimes division, and then in the unit that specialized in financial crime. In 2000, she applied to the security police in Uppsala, and by 2001 she had moved to Stockholm. She first worked in counter-espionage, but she was almost immediately hand-picked by Ed Klinth for the Constitutional Protection Unit. He happened to know Figuerola's father, and had followed her career over the years. When at long last Ed Klinth concluded that he had to act on Armansky's information, he called Figuerola into his office. She had been at Constitutional Protection for less than 3 years, which meant she was still more of a real police officer than a desk warrior. She was dressed that day in tight blue jeans, turquoise sandals with a low heel, and a navy blue jacket.
"What are you working on at the moment, Monica?"
"We're following up on the robbery of the grocers in Sunne." Figuerola was the head of a department of 5 officers working on political crimes. They relied heavily on computers connected to the incident reporting network of the regular police. Nearly every report submitted in any police district in Sweden passed through the computers in Figuerola's department. The software scanned every report and reacted to 310 key words. Nigger, for example, or skinhead, swastika, immigrant, anarchist, Hitler salute, Nazi, National Democrat, traitor, Jew lover, or nigger lover. If such a keyword cropped up, the report would be printed out and scrutinized. The Constitutional Protection Unit publishes an annual report, Threats to National Security, which supplies the only reliable statistics on political crime. These statistics are based on reports filed with local police authorities. The security police did not normally spend time investigating robberies of groceries, but in the case of the robbery of the shop in Sunne, the computer had reacted to 3 keywords. Immigrant, shoulder patch, and nigger. 2 masked men had robbed at gunpoint a shop owned by an immigrant. They had taken 2,780 kroner and a carton of cigarettes. One of the robbers had a mid-length jacket with a Swedish flag shoulder patch. The other had screamed, "fucking nigger," several times at the manager and forced him to lie on the floor. This was enough for Figuerola's team to initiate the preliminary investigation, to inquire whether the robbers had a connection to the neo-Nazi gang in Värmland, and whether the robbery could be defined as a racist crime. If so, the incident might be included in that year's statistical compilation, which would then itself be incorporated within the European statistics put together by the EU's office in Vienna.
"I have a difficult assignment for you," Ed Klinth said. "It's a job that could land you in big trouble. Your career might be ruined. But if things go well, it could be a major step forward for you."
"I'm all ears."
"I'm thinking of moving you to the Constitutional Protection Operations Unit."
"Forgive me for mentioning this, but Constitutional Protection doesn't have an operations unit."
"Yes, it does," Ed Klinth said. "I established it this morning. At present it consists of you."
"I see," said Figuerola, hesitantly.
The task of constitutional protection is to defend the Constitution against what we call internal threats, most often those on the extreme left or the extreme right. But what do we do if a threat to the Constitution comes from within our own organization?
For the next half hour he told her what Armansky had told him the night before.
Who is the source of these claims?
Figueroa said when the story was ended.
Focus on the information, not the source.
What I'm wondering is whether you consider the source to be reliable.
I consider the source to be totally reliable. I've known this person for many years.
It all sounds a bit, I don't know, improbable?
I know, it's the stuff of a spy novel.
How do you expect me to go about tackling it?
Starting now, you're released from all other duties. Your task, your only task, is to investigate the truth of this story. You have to either verify or dismiss the claims one by one. You report directly, and only to me.
I see what you mean when you say I might land in it up to my neck.
But if the story is true, if even a fraction of it is true, then we have a constitutional crisis on our hands.
Where do you want me to begin?
Start with the simple things. First, read the Bjork report. Then identify the people who are allegedly tailing this guy Blomqvist. According to my source, the car belongs to Göran Mortensen, a police officer living on Vidangegaten in Vällingby. Then identify the other person in the pictures taken by Blomqvist's photographer, the younger blonde man here.
Figueroa was making notes.
Then look into Gullberg's background. I'd never heard his name before, but my source believes there's a connection between him and the security police.
So somebody here at SIS put out a contract on a former spy using a 78-year-old man. I don't believe it.
Nevertheless, check it out. Your entire investigation has to be carried out without a single person other than me knowing anything at all about it. Before you take any action, I want to be informed. I don't want to see any rings on the water.
This is one hell of an investigation. How am I going to do all this alone?
You won't have to. You have to do only the first check. If you come back and say that you didn't find anything, then everything is fine. If you come back having found anything, as my source describes it, then we'll decide what to do.